Good evening, it's 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's News Collective, Christina Laurie, Jesse Bell, Henry Walker, and Juliana Gonsalves. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, and the Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie. Let's start off with your local news headlines. Kingston residents will have to wait longer than expected for the return of a major aquatic facility. At their last meeting, council received an update on the construction of the Culligan Water Park enclosure, revealing the project has been delayed. While it was originally expected to be completed by summer 2027, the timeline has now been pushed to November of 2027, meaning the city will go another full summer without the facility. The Culligan Water Park has been a Kingston summer staple since 2011, heavily utilized by residents across the city for a variety of aquatic programming. Construction began in October 2025 with contractor Emmons & Mitchell working to enclose the park, a move which will allow for year-round use, helping to relieve pressure on other city pools that are already operating at capacity. But for now, that relief is on hold. The report to council states that the cause of the delay is due to several fixed sequencing constraints in the construction process, limiting opportunities to speed up the timeline. When asked by councillors, staff provided further detail.
Some of the delays were associated just with the sequencing of the work. So when we set up the summer of 2027 opening, we had the preliminary schedule that the general contractor provided. As they secured all their contracts and issued all their POs for various equipment and stuff, it became obvious that the schedule would have to be extended by about 4 months. And we're working now to see how we can bring it back. But like, for example, the pool needs, the slide needs a crane to erect it, and then the steel needs to go around it. So we're looking at ways to erect the steel and the structure and then erect the slide afterwards inside to shorten the critical path that it takes. But the other big challenge is that we're working with an existing pool and the basin is there. So you have to work around an existing pool that the exact scope and the timing wasn't taken into account when we set up the original schedule.
The news raised concern around the horseshoe, especially given the already high demand for pool space in Kingston. Aquatic programming, especially access to swim lessons for young children, has been a growing issue in recent years, with families struggling to secure spots. Councillor Don Amos expressed his concern.
It's disappointing that our families are now going to go another summer without utilizing that pool. So we know that there are pool shortages in this area, and this is putting pressure on our families just wanting to learn to enjoy swim lessons and recreation swimming. So I'll leave it at that.
Adding to the impact, councillors also learned that the heavily used splash pad located next to the park will be closed for summer 2026 and potentially 2027 as well. This is due to its proximity to the construction site and associated safety concerns.
That's highly utilized, and without the Culligan Water Park open, I know a lot of families like that as a free sort of way to cool off.
If we could try as hard as possible to get the splash pad open, because that's something that a lot of people have approached me about, is asking about, is the splash pad going to be open in 2026? But obviously it won't be. So if we could try to for 2027 and maybe have something that close by that people can do during the summer, that would be great if we can think of something.
In response, the city's Recreation and Leisure Services Department is working to fill the gap. Staff have secured more than 300 hours of additional swim time from partner aquatic facilities for summer 2026, which will be used for swim lessons, family swims, and lane swims. However, staff note that even with these additions, the city will fall short of meeting demand and say they will continue working with partners to expand programming where possible.
We will be entering into agreements with other aquatic partners such as BGC and Queens to offer programming. So this summer is nearly secured pending final agreements, and we anticipate doing something similar next summer and ensuring that Artillery Park also has programming to help alleviate some of the gaps there, As well as Commissioner Campbell mentioned, the pool in Loyalist, the Aquatic Center, is currently under construction, their new center, and so residents will also have the opportunity to use that facility. As the city has made a capital contribution to ensure Kingston residents have the same access as Loyalist residents.
It was clarified that the delay will not impact the overall cost of construction. The additional swim time secured for 2026 is covered within the existing budget, though similar funding, estimated at just over $50,000, will be needed again in 2027. For now, residents are left navigating another summer with limited access to aquatic programming, as the city waits for the long-anticipated build, still more than a year away from completion. Council is looking at a new way to protect the city's tree canopy by rewarding preservation, not just penalizing destruction. At their last meeting, councilors unanimously approved a motion directing staff to explore the creation of a municipal tree conservation incentive program, with a report expected back by the end of 2026. The motion also comes alongside a temporary bylaw passed at the same meeting, which prohibits clear-cutting unless specifically approved, as the city continues a broader review of tree protection policies launched in February. Councillor Ryan Boehm, who brought the motion forward after a conversation with a constituent, says this move is about shifting the approach.
You know, we're looking at the temporary bylaw, we're looking at fines and everything like that, but this was brought forward by a community member when I was sitting in a Tim Hortons, that why are there not really incentives? And so the whole idea here is that finding somebody once they've cut down an old growth forest accomplishes a punitive measure, but it doesn't change the fact that the forest wasn't protected and that it's gone, and then it's very hard to reestablish. It takes hundreds of years for that. So the whole goal here is let's incentivize and see what programs exist at the provincial level and perhaps further, you know, bump them up at the municipal level to have people actually voluntarily protect certain forests for an extended amount of time and commit to that. And letting land be unused has so many benefits, but there are also costs for those people who are leaving it in that natural state. So what we want to try to do is reduce those costs. So we've taken the stick approach with some previous motions. Herein now lies the carrot. So I think it's great when we have issues that we can approach it from two different angles, try to incentivize it.
City staff will now look at what can be done on the municipal level, including both tax-based and non-tax incentives, while staying within legislative limits. Staff are expected to report back with options, costs, and best practices by the end of the year. For CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative, this has been Christina Laurie.
Thank you, Chris. You're listening to your Queen's Campus Beat, Queen's Campus News, here on CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston, Ontario, or online at cfrc.ca. I'm Henry. We begin with a fire that affected a common student housing area earlier this month. According to reporting published April 7th by the Queen's Journal, a student residence located off campus experienced a fire on the evening of April 6th, which was Easter Monday. While the fire was described as brief, it prompted emergency response and raised ongoing concerns about the condition and safety of off-campus student housing in Kingston. No fatalities have been reported in connection with the incident, but the event adds to a broader pattern of attention toward housing standards in neighborhoods heavily populated by Queen's students. The property involved is part of a cluster of frequently used student rental units, underscoring the continued reliance on aging housing stock in the city's university district. Turning to student governments, new scrutiny has emerged around internal operations within the Alma Mater Society. A report published on April 3rd details concerns raised both internally and externally regarding the AMS Clubs Commission and Campus Affairs Commission. Allegations include poor communication practices and the use of inappropriate language, contributing to dissatisfaction among student groups that rely on these commissions for funding, oversight, and logistical support. This comes at a time when the AMS is already navigating instability following the March 1st resignation of former President Jana Amer and the earlier assumption of duties by incoming President Dryden George, as previously reported in student political coverage. The combination of leadership transition and operational criticism suggests ongoing challenges in restoring confidence in student governance structures heading into the 2026-2027 academic year. Financial concerns are also emerging within AMS Operations Services. It is now known that multiple student services, including the Queen's Pub and separate retail operations, are contributing to an approximate $800,000 gap between projected and actual budgets. Despite steady student use, several services have struggled to meet revenue expectations. The report highlights unsold merchandise inventory and underperforming food service operations as key factors in the shortfall. This deficit raises questions about the long-term sustainability of AMS-run businesses and whether restructuring or service reductions may be required in future budget cycles. In recent university administration news, compensation data released for 2025 is drawing new attention. The top five earners at Queen's University each receive salaries exceeding $400,000 in the 2025 fiscal year. The disclosure comes amid broader institutional budget review processes and increasing scrutiny over spending priorities. The university has already announced a review of its budget model, indicating potential structural changes in how funds are allocated across faculties and services. Thank you for listening. I've been Henry, here with Queen's Campus Beat, your Queen's Campus news on CFRC 101.9 FM.
The Queen's Gaels women's football team participated in Intercollegiate Flag Football Provincial Finals last weekend. The Gaels entered the tournament as the top-ranked team in the 11-on-11 format after sweeping the regional qualifying tournament 3 weeks prior. The undefeated Gaels rolled into Fleming College looking to win the first provincial championship in program history. Though women's football has existed as a concept at Queen's for over a decade, it did not receive official club status until 2021, with their first official season taking place the following year. The team would medal in both 2024 and 2025, building a solid foundation of young players and veterans alike. 2026 marked the breakthrough season for the program, with convincing tournament wins in February and March, earning them a spot in the Football Ontario Provincial Championships in the Tier 1 division. Queens would meet the Western Mustangs in the provincial final, a rematch of March's regional tournament final. The defense, led by fourth-year defender and CFRC alumnus Claire Chow, would smother Western's passing game, while the Queens quarterback, Isabella Shee, would throw three touchdowns to power the Gaels to a commanding 27-0 victory and their first provincial title in program history. The Gaels will advance to the Football Canada National Finals in Regina. The national finals begin May 1st, and the team is looking to raise funds to cover travel costs. Donations can be made through the Queen's University Giving Portal. For more information, you can also visit the Queen's Women's Football page's social media at QueensWFootball on Instagram. In other sports news, two members of the Queen's Women's Rugby team have been selected to the Canadian National Team. Lizzie Gibson and Chloe Daniels will join two other Queen's alumnus in Taylor Perry and Sophie DeGuti on the roster for the Pacific Four Series. Gibson finished her Queen's career as the program's all-time leading scorer with a staggering 569 career points, breaking the record formerly held by DeGuti. Chloe Daniels played a key role in Canada's silver medal performance at the 2024 Paris Summer Olympics and has won a number of team awards and conference awards over the course of her accomplished Queen's career. This is your Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region, Wednesday, April 15th. The warmest day of the year so far, daytime high of 18 degrees with a 68% chance of precipitation in the forecast. Thursday, April 16th, the first day of the week not to be projected to have rain. Daytime high of 14 degrees, going to feel closer to 13, cloudy conditions dropping down to 9 overnight. Friday, April 17th, another high double-digit day, 16 degrees, but we do have a 55% chance of precipitation that will cool things off quite a bit overnight, dropping down to 2, and cooling things off for the weekend, as Saturday, April 18th, we have a high of 10 degrees with a mix of sun and cloud, feeling slightly colder around 8. Sunday, April 19th, we've got an 11-degree day in the forecast with a mix of sun and cloud, but it is actually going to feel quite a bit warmer than the 11-degree temperature in the sun. It'll feel up to 16 on Sunday, April 19th. And then starting off next week, Monday, April 20th, daytime high of 11 degrees, but a 62% chance of rain means it's going to feel closer to 8. This is your City of Kingston traffic report for the week, and just bear in mind, winter overnight street parking restrictions have been lifted as of April 1st. We begin with two long-term road closures. Berry Street to Queen is closed for construction-related activity at 283 Queen Street, and Aberdeen Street from Johnson to William is closed indefinitely to accommodate construction activity and staging in the area. We have some short-term road closures as well, including Wright Crescent at Palace Road, which is closed for a contractor to complete roadway repairs, pedestrian safety and access improvements, and traffic calming features on Wright Crescent. There is a minimal traffic disruption on Bath Road to Sir John A. McDonald Boulevard. Expect delays for the installation of intersection pedestrian signals. The city is installing intersection pedestrian signals at several locations to make it easier and safer for pedestrians to cross busy roads. They are installing these signals at the following intersections: Bath Road at Lafleur Park, Concession Street at Kings Court Avenue, and Stephen Street at Patrick Street. And that's a wrap for your City of Kingston traffic report for the week. Safe driving, everybody.
This is Christina Laurie coming back with K-Town's hottest events and concerts coming up this week. Wednesday, April 15th, board games kick things off at Something in the Water at 5 and the Royal Canadian Legion at 6. Alongside karaoke at Timeout Bar at 6, trivia at Daft Brewing starting at 7, and the Grad Club hosts an open stage drag show at 8. Followed by a drag and burlesque show at 8:30. Thursday, April 16th, the Kingston Public Market returns from 8:30 to 5. The Kingston Symphony Spring Vinyl Sale kicks off, running from 4 to 8, and a needle-felted landscape workshop takes place at the Ted Center at 6. Later on in the evening, enjoy drag bingo at Daft Brewing at 7. There is also no shortage of trivia on Thursday with Riverhead at 8, the Grad Club at 8, Something in the Water at 8, and Queen's Pub at 9. Karaoke runs at Jersey's at 8:30 and The Buckle at 9. Friday, April 17th, the Kingston Symphony Spring Vinyl Sale continues from 10 to 6. There's group art therapy at the Tet Center from 6 to 8, trivia at Wild Wings at 7, and the Just for Laughs Roadshow at the Kingston Grand Theater at 7:30. The Ground Up Dance Festival also takes place at the Tet at 8, and there's karaoke at Daft Brewing and The Buckle both at 9. On Saturday, April 18th, the Kingston Symphony Spring Vinyl Sale wraps up from 10 to 4. The Eastern Ontario Spring Stamp Festival runs from 10 to 3 at Crossroads United Church. And to keep on your radar, Record Store Day takes place across several local shops throughout the day. In the evening, you can check out Comedy Debates at The Buckle and Family Feud at Daft Brewing at 8. On Sunday, April 19th, the final day of the Kingston Symphony Spring Vinyl Sale runs from 10 to 2. Karaoke wraps up the weekend at The Merchant and The Toucan, both starting at 9. That was a quick run through of your events for the week. Now into concerts. Wednesday, April 15th, DJ Great White spins at Hotel Wolf Island. Nolan Hubbard performs at the Bank Gastro Bar at 5:30, and there's an open mic at Hotel Wolf Island starting at 7:30. Thursday, April 16th, Nolan Hubbard plays the Coven at 5, followed by Michael George Jam Night at the RCHA at 6:30. Open Season performs at Hotel Wolf Island at 7, Jinx, Naked by 9, and Johnson Street hit the Ale House at 8:30, and the Lazarettes play the Toucan at 9:30. Friday, April 17th, a packed night for concerts, an open mic takes place at Storington Lions Club at 5:30, followed by Christopher Jackson at Lakeside Barn Grill at 7 and Lynn Miles at Hotel Wolf Island at 7. The Grapes of Wrath acoustic duo perform at Signal Brewery at 7:30. Guilty Pleasures play Timeout at 8, Mellow Lily is at Tiernanog at 9, and late night shows include Dr. Bombay at The Merchant and Tone Cats at The Toucan at 10:30. Saturday, April 18th, Tyler Brett Forks performs at The Social YGK at 7. John Butler takes the stage at the Kingston Grand Theater at 7:30, alongside a Michael Jackson tribute at La Vida Bistro Bar, Sons of Rick and Doghouse at The Broom Factory, and the She Sings Women's Choir Spring Concert at Chalmers United Church. Rumpus, Matt Almeida, and Slim play Overtime at 8. August West performs at Tiernanog at 9. And late night sets include the Oreos at the Merchant and Rocket Surgery at the Toucan, both at 10:30. Finishing off the week, Sunday, April 19th, Tom Savage and Friends perform at the Kingston Yacht Club from 2 to 5, and Il Chanteuse, Chantel Thompson, and Hugh Christopher Brown take the stage at Hotel Wolf Island at 6. That's a quick look at what's happening around Kingston this week. For more details on these events and for the full list of events and concerts, head to our calendars on cfrc.ca. Have an event you'd like to add to our online and on-air calendar? Reach out today via cfrc.ca at CFRC Music or on Instagram using the link tree in our bio. Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and listen on the go, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, and the Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
Thank you for listening to this podcast produced at CFRC 101.9 FM at Queen's University, situated on the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee peoples, and brought to you by the generous support of the Faculty of Engineering and Applied Science.